Hey, I want to invite the kids to come gather around the screen or the TV, wherever you are, and I would love to just talk to you for a few minutes. You can probably tell where I'm sitting. Right behind me are those steps. I love having you come up and sit on so we can share with you. And when I get to do that, I love being that close to you, and I wish I could be that close to you, but I'm glad you're safe, and I'm glad you're at home, and I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. So for just a minute, I want you to think about Thanksgiving. How was it? What did you love most about Thanksgiving? Or maybe your whole Thanksgiving break. What was the best part? And when you had Thanksgiving dinner, whenever that was and wherever that was and whoever it was with, what did you like most? Was it the turkey? Was it the mashed potatoes? Was it the dessert? Did you have pie? If you did, I hope you loved it. And I hope you thanked your mom and dad or whoever cooked that meal for you. I hope you thanked them. And if you haven't thanked them yet, turn to them right now and say thank you for Thanksgiving. All right. Now here's the thing. Where Thanksgiving takes place is very close to a whole new season. And it's really important that we celebrate it. I know you're thinking about Christmas, and that's coming. But the season I'm thinking about is called Advent, and Advent is a time where we prepare for the arrival of Jesus, which of course happens on Christmas. Advent is something that people, young and old, have been celebrating for years. Advent is a whole 4 Sundays before Christmas, and on each of those Sundays, we kind of prepare in a different way. We look at something different to get us ready for the arrival of Jesus. Advent means arrival, so it makes sense that we're all kind of thinking about the arrival of Jesus. And as we've been saying all fall, when Jesus arrived, everything changed. Everything was altered. So this Advent, we're going to look at how certain people's lives were altered because of the arrival of Jesus. A guy named Zechariah, his life was altered, and Jason's going to talk about him in just a minute. Mary's life was altered, and you know a bit about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Obviously, her life changed radically with the arrival of Jesus. There's another woman named Elizabeth, who was the mother of John the Baptist. Her world changed, along with Zechariah's, as they awaited their spectacular baby, also John the Baptist. And then a bunch of other things were changed, and a bunch of other people were changed, and we'll talk about how Christmas alters everything. Well, one of the ways we also want to encourage you to prepare for Advent or the arrival of Jesus is to light some Advent candles. I know many of you already got these in your home, but if you didn't, it's not too late to come by the church and get an Advent candle lighting kit. Every Sunday, we have a different Advent candle. And if you were watching online already, you saw that we lit the hope candle. So Janet and Tasha and the children's ministry team has put together a whole Advent kit that will help you get ready, that will help build the excitement, because we're not just excited for presents, although we are. We're also excited for the arrival of Jesus. So let's pray together as we begin this season of Advent. Will you pray with me? And I'll pray a little, and you pray a little too. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus into this world and into my life and into the life of my family. Thank you that we can prepare for the coming of Jesus. Thank you that you came once as a baby. Thank you that you will come again as a king. Help us to worship you all this season long. And fill us with hope. Fill us with joy. Fill us with love. And fill us with peace as we light our Advent candles. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our scripture reading today is Luke chapter 1, verse 1 through 24. Since many have undertaken to set down an orderly account of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed on to us by those who from the very beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, I too decided, after investigating everything carefully from the very first, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you have been instructed. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once when he was serving as priest before God, and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak, until the days these things occur." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered at his delay in the sanctuary. When he came out, he could not speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak. When his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I've endured among my people." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Weariness, discouragement, uncertainty, fear, anger, isolation, disappointment. That list should at least cover one or more of the feelings that you and I may be currently experiencing. A great way to start an Advent sermon, right? I mean, usually we think of Advent and Christmas, we are often filled with feelings of excitement, joy, peace, love, and anticipation. And while those feelings may still be there, perhaps those other former feelings I mentioned feel a bit stronger and more prevalent. And you know what? It's okay. It's good to name those feelings and things that we are experiencing rather than ignore them or push them away, because they are real and they are true feelings. And either way, they're going to come out somewhere. Truly, this has been a difficult year. But as followers of Jesus, we are not without hope. This season of Advent and Christmas is a time that is full of hope and a time that is full of good news. It is a reminder that God is with us and God meets us where we are at, and God is faithful to all of his promises. And whether you're feeling weary or angry or fear or disappointment, let me assure you that you are not alone in what you are experiencing. In fact, as we enter into this season of Advent, we discover a lot of these same feelings and emotions surrounding that very first season of Advent and the time that led up to the first Christmas and birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. I mean, talk about weariness, uncertainty, and even disappointment. For God's people, it has been a long, long time between the last recorded words from God through his prophet Malachi and where we pick up in our passage in Luke today. I mean, we're talking like 400 plus years long time, a long time of waiting and wondering, God, where are you? How long, O God? Where is the Messiah that you promised? I remember as a kid being told, don't make promises you can't keep. Especially after I would get caught doing something I knew was wrong, to which I would quickly reply with a promise to never again do whatever it was I got caught doing. Little Jason would boldly declare, I promise to never lie again, or I promise to never tease my siblings again. Which, of course, were promises I definitely didn't keep. Don't make promises you can't keep. Yet, as we look through God's word, we see all throughout God's promises are everywhere. Because God loves making promises. God does not hesitate in making promises. But the difference is when God makes a promise, we see over and over again his faithfulness in keeping those promises. God does not make promises he can't keep. The promise of a Messiah, the one who would save us from our sin, the one who would make us holy and restore a right relationship with God, between us and God. The promise, this promise of God is an ancient promise that goes back to Genesis and in the garden, right after Adam and Eve rebelled against God and sin. We see that even in that moment of guilt and disobedience, that God laid out his promised plan for humanity's newly needed rescue. We see that God laid out this promise of salvation through the coming of a Messiah. But as time went on and as God's people continued to wait and the feelings of weariness began to pile up, I imagine God's people began to wonder, perhaps this time is different. What if this is the promise? What if this is the one that God doesn't answer, that God doesn't keep? Now for us, here and now, we have the advantage of knowing the big reveal at the end of this first Advent. The truth that God is faithful and keeps his promises. And in his perfect time, we see he sent Jesus, our Messiah and our Savior, to be born and to live and then to die for the salvation from our sins. Even so, we know those feelings of waiting, of weariness and disappointment. The same feelings I imagine Zechariah and Elizabeth may have felt and experienced as for years they must have prayed for a child only to continually be confronted by the ongoing cultural label of disgrace and then having to eventually come to terms with their ever-increasing age and the disappointing reality that they would never have a child. And this is where Luke begins his gospel, the birth account of John the Baptist, the one who will prepare the way for Jesus, the Messiah, the one to be born to a well-off in years, childless couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Luke describes them as both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord, but they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren and both were getting on in years. This here is a very important description that Luke includes here. For one, it takes away the cultural stigma at the time that if a woman was not able to have a child, then it was often thought of that it was because God was punishing her for some sin. But this was not the case at all. We see Zechariah and Elizabeth lived blamelessly and followed God's law. They were not being punished. But there's also another important truth I see here, and that is that being righteous or being good doesn't exempt us from disappointment or weariness. It does not give us a get-out-of-trouble-free card. Even righteous people have disappointments in life. Even righteous people go through difficult, troubling times. But even in our weariness, even in our disappointments, God meets us where we are at. And God extends a life-giving invitation. I just love the Message translation of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. It says, this is Jesus giving this life-giving invitation. He says, "Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Zechariah and Elizabeth, godly, righteous people, people that have lived with a deep disappointment, never having the child they longed for and prayed for. But here we see God is at work, and God has been at work for such a time as this. And as Zechariah and Elizabeth are about to see, God is faithful to his promises, that God hears our prayers, even the ones we may have forgotten or given up on long ago. It's not by chance that while on his priestly duty, Zechariah is chosen by lot for this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to offer incense in the sanctuary of the Lord. Unknowingly, Zechariah is about to experience a life-altering work of God. We see God at work here, moving and orchestrating things in a new and fresh way to bring about his promised plan and story of redemption to the world by sending the one, John, to prepare the way for the one, Jesus, who would take away the sin of the world. And so here we see God was not only about to bring fulfillment to a promise made long ago, but also an answer to a long-forgotten prayer. I imagine as Zechariah prepares for his time of service in the temple, he is full of anticipation, of excitement, of nervousness and gratefulness. He now finds himself in the holy place, offering incense, worshiping, and praying on behalf of the people, praying for their needs, praying for God to send the Messiah. And then we read, "There appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified and fear overwhelmed him." Zechariah might be thinking at this point, "Whoa, no one told me about this. I mean, does this happen to everyone who does this?" It's no wonder that Zechariah is terrified and filled with fear as he is in the presence of a heavenly being. But the angel tells him, "Do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard." And again, I'm sure Zechariah at this point is going through his mind, going through his prayers. Which prayer has been heard? A couple years ago, as a church here, we went through Walter Wengren's Advent devotional, Preparing for Jesus. And I just love what he says here as he reflects about Zechariah's prayer that has been heard. He says, "Who knows when Zechariah and Elizabeth prayed the prayer the angel mentions? Surely it was long ago, before they had grown old. It must have grown more anguished as longer and longer grew the time when God did not answer it. But after a certain age, reality must have persuaded the childless couple to stop praying for the impossible. By now, they had probably forgotten the prayer itself. Surely they believed that its purpose was past and that the answer long ago had been no. But here is the first of our lessons today. that God does not forget our prayers. It is in the fullness of time that he answers them. God does not forget our prayers. And maybe we find ourselves like Zachariah and Elizabeth. We pray for something for a long, long time. We pray for the salvation of a family member or friend. We pray for that job or that calling. We pray that God would bring that special person to us. We pray for healing. We pray for deliverance. We pray that God would provide something. But after years of heartfelt prayer, waiting and growing weary, we perhaps give up out of discouragement and disappointment. And when we find ourselves in that place, we sometimes begin in both small and large ways to doubt the love and care that God has for us. Or we think, oh, I must have done something wrong. But as it was then, it is now, that God never stops hearing our prayers. And God and his love and care for us, it never, never ends. And while God may not give us the answer that we want when we want, we know that God always hears and God always answers our prayers and cares for us with a deep, deep love. For Zachariah here, I can only imagine the overwhelming thoughts and questions that are going through his mind as the angel Gabriel tells him these things. He says, Elizabeth will bear a son to be named John. He will be a joy and delight to you and many others. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I mean, all of that is so exciting. All of that is good news. Good news for Zachariah and Elizabeth, but also good news for God's people, as God was about to send John the one to prepare the way for Jesus, the Messiah. But we see here that Zechariah's initial response wasn't one of praising God. It wasn't one of gratitude. It wasn't one of faith in God making the impossible possible. Instead, we see his response is full of questions, full of unbelief, and full of doubt. He says, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is getting along in years. I mean, at least here we can see that Zechariah has some wisdom in not calling his wife old. But either way, he doubts. Perhaps he may be thinking, this must be too good to be true. And perhaps over time in Zechariah's life, as he faced disappointment, he has probably protected himself from such disappointment by not setting his expectations too high. So this great news, this must be too good to be true. And even though we see here that Zechariah's unbelief did not take away God's promise for him and Elizabeth, we see the consequence of his initial unbelief would end up keeping him from immediately enjoying this promise, this promise and answered prayer that God was giving him. The angel replied to Zechariah, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur. This is where I think the game of charades was invented. I mean, imagine getting this one, right? How do you act out an angel appearing and telling you that you're going to have a son and then going through all the motions in front of the people and then having to then go home and go through it all again with his wife, Elizabeth? But I imagine for Zechariah, this time of silent waiting was probably initially first filled with some regret. Why didn't I just believe? Why didn't I just respond in gratitude? But after time, I believe this time was truly an amazing time of growth and deepening of Zechariah's faith as he had no choice but to listen and to trust God, that what God promised would come to be. And I believe that it was in those still, quiet moments as Zechariah had to rely on trusting that God would be faithful to his promises, that he began to see all the ways that God had been at work and was at work. And I believe that in that time, Zechariah's heart was filled with joy and gratitude. And you know, as we read this narrative and story of Zechariah and Elizabeth and all that had happened, it can be so easy to just point the finger at Zechariah, point the finger at his lack of faith and doubt. But if I'm being honest, there are times that I have responded just like Zechariah. I find myself doubting and not allowing myself to truly believe that God is answering my prayer, that God truly is faithful to his promises. Or maybe it was just a prayer that I just stopped believing and stopped praying for long ago. Have you been there? Are you there now? You've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed, but it seemed like God never heard, or that God was ignoring you, or that God was giving you the silent treatment. And so maybe you've stopped praying. Maybe you've stopped believing. Maybe you've stopped hoping. Our passage today, as we begin and start this season of Advent, is a reminder and hope-filled message that we all need to hear. Let me echo the words of Gabriel, that God has heard your prayer. God never forgets our prayers. And even in the waiting, which I know is difficult, we can still trust in the goodness of God and the goodness of his timing and his purposes. And again, his answer to our prayers may not be an answer in the way that we want it or when we want it. But know that God is listening, and God is always listening, and God is moving, and God is always working all things, even our disappointments. He's working all things for good, for his glory, and for his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. And more than that, by God's amazing grace and unconditional love, our disbelief or our doubt does not keep God from accomplishing his purposes or keeping his promises. God always keeps his promises. He kept his promise to his people. He kept his promises to Zechariah, and he will keep his promises to us now and forever. This is the good news of Christmas. This is the greatest promise of God. As we read in John 3:16, that familiar verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." And then the next verse, verse 17, "Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn it, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is God's greatest promise. God always keeps his promises. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the reminder that you are faithful to your promises, that you keep all of your promises. And God, not only that, but you hear all of our prayers. God, we thank you for the way that you show us through your word more about who you are. God, that you reveal to us your love and your care for us. And so, God, remind us again. Remind us that you hear our prayers. Remind us that you are with us. Remind us that even as we experience feelings of weariness or disappointment, God, that you are right there with us. And even in those moments of weariness and disappointment, you invite us to come to you. You invite us to take our burdens and give them to you. You invite us to bring our prayers to you. And God, you hear those prayers. And even now, you are at work in this world and in our lives. That you are at work in your amazing story of redemption. And so as we enter the season of Advent, remembering the first Advent of when Jesus came that we celebrate at Christmas, be with us and remind us that your promises still ring true, that Jesus will come again. Restore that hope in our lives. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.